This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
Brought information into the committee, and the information leaked. Whether it was Shifty Schiff or somebody else, they leaked the information before it gets in. And what's even worse, they leaked the wrong information. And he got tired of it, so he wants to do it in a different forum.
All right, so that's how we start our show off and kick off another week here in the good old USA. It's the president accusing top Democrats of leaking after the head of intelligence did an in-person briefing. And the president is, by the way, heading to Kenosha, Wisconsin. There's some concerns about that. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. If you've just tuned in for the first time, welcome to the show. I don't care if you're left of left, right of right, or somewhere in between. This show is about the conversation. It's about what's happening in America, and we are all Americans. Unless you're listening to me from some other place, which we have friends in England and Australia and India and so many other great places, and they join us often in our special author's corner. So let me dive into what the president said to make sense of it for you all. The president accused members of the House Intelligence Committee of spilling that sensitive information to the media over the weekend. He said he explained why his administration is not going to provide in-person briefings on any top secret matters, including potential election interference. Now, Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi and Congressman Adam Schiff, who absolutely are the arch rivals of the president, Schiff, of course, the committee chair, said at a news conference that the director of national intelligence, John Ratcliffe, will switch to written briefings, calling the change a shocking abdication of his lawful responsibility. But immediately, while the president was on the road and he was actually looking at hurricane damage in a place called Orange, Texas, that was slammed by Hurricane Laura, said that Director Ratcliffe brought information into the committee and the information leaked. Whether it was, he said, whether it was Shifty Schiff or someone else, you have leakers, and you heard, of course, what he said at the top when we first cracked this all open. So he didn't point to any specific instances of leaking, but said he's tired of this and this is the way that this is going to go. I think we're going to hear a lot more back and forth on Twitter between the top Dems and the Prez, and probably some other people will throw in their two cents on this, because it is pretty irregular when you talk about the information and the way the information goes back and forth, and especially in the House Intelligence Committee situation. But flat out, the president is saying, look, Schiff or someone else is leaking this information to the media, so that's it. We're done. When we talk about leaking information on China and Russia and anything else that happens to be in the crosshairs of what the Intelligence Committee is looking at. And he went further, too. He, of course, we always have on Twitter the war of words, and he called the people who leak the information deranged lowlifes who leak information. And so for the security of the election, he's saying, you know, this is not going to happen anymore. So that's why Ratcliffe made the announcement that he would only be receiving written updates period that way. And so it wasn't misunderstood or politicized, saying, let's just make this, let's call it even. And or not even, but let's call it, we're writing this whole thing off and we're going in a different direction. So no more in-person briefings on election security to Congress. Wonder how much of a fallout there will continue to be. Like I said, I think we're going to see more of it. All right, it's pretty interesting. Big 12 schools, you know, we've been talking about, I'm bringing this up at the top because when we look at COVID-19, Big 12 schools are announcing plans to host 25,000 fans in what is being called a hotspot right now for coronavirus. So Iowa State is going to allow fans to attend their season opener at the stadium on September 12th. The Cyclones are expecting that many people with social distancing and strategies because of the pandemic, and what the Iowa State Athletic Director, Jamie Pollard, is saying in a letter to fans. We'll see if our mitigation actions are successful. We're going to allow all season ticket purchasers to attend the Oklahoma game on October 3rd. So this is a big break from what we've seen happening, especially in sports and in large gatherings, because of the fear of having too many people in one space, even if it's outdoors or whatever. And with the numbers being 183,000 people dead and over 6 million cases, and especially when we talk about college campuses where so much is happening there, I think it was kind of a head-turner when that was announced, because Ames, Iowa, was identified as the country's worst coronavirus hotspot in the New York Times. And, of course, Iowa City, home to the University of Iowa, was second, while the state of Iowa was also called the worst hotspot state now. I mean, that's currently now. And what does that mean? Where are those numbers coming from? It's 80% of the cases are from people ages 18 to 40. And just last week, the county reported 167 positive tests. They're saying this is the direction that it's going on. And when we look at the positivity rate and the data, that this is how you come up with that. So the State County Board of Health officially requested a couple of months ago that Iowa State not host fans at home games, but they've decided to go in a different direction. And we'll see. You know, we'll see how this turns out. And, of course, the monitoring up to the game is a big deal. Football is huge for so many colleges, and Iowa State is no different. Pollard has said that if the Cyclones remove completely fans, etc., they would lose so much money. They sold more than $11 million in tickets for the 2019. $11 million for the 2019 football season. The capacity at the stadium is 60,000. So, of course, they're going to have nowhere near that if they're saying 25,000. They're saying no tailgating, mandatory face covering, a social distance seating, and limited concessions. So this is, I think this is the great big experiment. What happens after that game? And we're almost in September. In fact, we are turning the page as I speak in many places to the first. So September 12th, do the math. We're talking not too long from now, less than 2 weeks. And again, this is a very big test in an area just dubbed as a hot spot. All right, speaking of hot spots of a different sort, of course, Kenosha, Wisconsin has become just that. And the president is absolutely going to Kenosha and saying that this is where he wants to be. He wants to talk to people. He wants to embrace what's happening in Wisconsin. I have more on that and reaction as well. So stay with us. We've just scratched the surface. I'll meet you on the other side.
Attention radio listeners, have you ever wanted to be independent of the utility companies and actually generate your own supply of off-grid electrical power? If so, this is going to be the most important message you'll ever hear. Here's why. A limited number of solar-powered backup generators are back in stock and now available. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, a solar generator runs quietly, emits no fumes, and produces an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. It's like having an electric power plant running silently, secretly, in your own home. Run sump pumps, shortwave radios, computers, even keep food from spoiling. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more. That's MySolarBackup.com. Supplies are still limited and are available on a first-come, first-served basis only. MySolarBackup.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
He should be charged with attempted murder. He should be charged with attempted murder because he didn't kill him. See, if he'd have killed him, he would have had murder one. But it was an attempt. See, he's never shot at a Blake before. He's strong as steel.
That was Jacob Blake's father who said, why did they shoot him so many times? And you heard him there say they never shot at a Blake before. He spoke on Monday and said that, he doesn't understand what's happening with the shooter and his son's shooter. And, of course, he talked about his son's pain and what happened and et cetera. And the world is watching Kenosha, Wisconsin, that's for sure. And part of the reason, besides what had happened there, is that the president is on his way to Wisconsin on Tuesday. He's going to go to Wisconsin. He says, "I'm headed there to celebrate love and respect for our country and to talk to the police and responders helping curb and clean after the recent violent protests that have gripped the city in the last couple of days and to increase enthusiasm again and love and respect for our country." One of the things that happened, and this was part of Blake's father's response to what's going on, is the defense of Kyle Rittenhouse. The president suggested, he didn't say it exactly, but he suggested that the man arrested for killing two people in the protests in Wisconsin last week might have acted in self-defense while criticizing the killing of one of his supporters in Portland, Oregon. So that just sent things haywire again in the Twittersphere, because this is how people communicate. It certainly in this administration and previous to it, it was becoming the go-to tool. The president said that video of what happened showed the alleged shooter, Kyle Rittenhouse, a 17-year-old, he says that he was trying to get away from protesters. He fell, and they violently attacked him on Sunday during an ABC This Week interview. Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf said investigators were looking into that video from Kenosha that showed him walking by the cops with a rifle strapped to his chest and his hands up as others called out that they were screaming he had just shot people. And there's investigations going all through his social media accounts, etc. And there are people that are trying to paint the picture of, well, let's take a look at what Rittenhouse was what it was doing. So this visit to Kenosha, Wisconsin is huge in a lot of different ways, because what's the reaction to that going to be? Rittenhouse has been charged, by the way, with 5 felonies and a misdemeanor after shooting 3 people on Tuesday. Again, 17-year-old shooting 3 people, 2 of them fatally. Rittenhouse is saying he was acting in self-defense. And he was also quoted as saying he was acting as a self-appointed security against rioting. That's what he thought he was. And considered himself a militia member. That was reported the other day in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel paper. And you know, this is just unraveling as I speak, because of other angles, other people saying they have video, that kind of thing. But at the point of him walking by, he had already shot, the way it looked from the documents in the video, at least one of the protesters. So, my oh my, I mean, welcome to America. Protesters being shot, guy walking by with a gun, he's 17, they do some digging on him, things don't look like he was innocently trying to protect people in any way. But again, it's allegedly, because we certainly live in a country where you are innocent until proven guilty, and we'll see where this all ends up. And I mean, Oregon is, especially Portland, obviously this is what I'm talking about, is a mess. So many of you have sent me a lot of email lately about what it's been like to see things unravel in Portland and continue to unravel. There was a fatal weekend shooting following more clashes with protesters and supporters of the president, and the governor saying that Oregon State Police would come back to Portland to help, and called for other law enforcement agencies to help. And this has been going on since May, since George Floyd was killed in Minneapolis. And the man that was fatally shot Saturday, it was shortly after a caravan of presidential supporters rolled through Portland, and then there was these huge counter protests and lots of screaming and arguing and yelling and anything that you can imagine. And the guy who was killed was 39 years old. So the victim was Jay Danielson, and he died of a gunshot wound to the chest, and they still haven't publicly identified the shooter at this point. And the president tweeted out, "Rest in peace, Jay." And he continued to go after the Portland mayor, Ted Wheeler, saying he was a joke of a mayor after calling him a fool on Sunday. So we've got all kinds of, again, the wall, the war of words constantly happening. And this is nothing new, because this is what we've seen happening in this country, certainly since May, but even before that, I would argue. And now here we are, less than 65 days before an election. So November 3rd is a very big day, and the heat is on. And depending on the polls, in some of the polls, and we know they're slanted in different ways, there are polls that are saying that Biden is way ahead in a swing states that the president won in his first election against Hillary Clinton. And then there are other polls that are saying the president is ahead in those swing states. And then there is the push for mail-in ballots, and how will they be counted, and will we know who won on election night? I'll tell you one thing. I feel pretty secure in saying to all of you, based on what I've seen in other elections, covering elections almost all of my adult life, that I think that we're not going to know on election night. I don't think we're going to know if President Trump is reelected or if Joe Biden is elected. I don't think so, because there's still too much gripping the nation over mail-in ballots, and will they get through in time, and how they're counted, and all of that in between. And my goodness, we're the most powerful nation, supposedly, right, on the face of the earth, and we can't get the election balloting right. I mean, I go back to the hanging chads and seeing the hanging chads in a museum in Tampa. In the Tampa Museum, they have a whole thing about the election, what happened on election night, some of the chads like that were shredded up, and we remember what that was like, or at least some of us remember what that was like. I don't know that it's going to be similar. I don't know that there's going to be a Supreme Court challenge. I don't know that that's going to happen, but I don't believe we will know on election night. I don't think so, because this is where we are right now in trying to make this system equitable and making sure, at least some of us, that all the votes are counted. I mean, listen, that's what we want. It seems as though this is achievable in this kind of country with great minds. To me, it boggles my mind. I say this all the time. You know, in starting this show and doing this show, I wanted it to be about the conversation. I want people to have different points of view, absolutely. And I want people to be able to feel good about voting, to exercise that right, to look at local politicians and to start with your local politicians and be involved there and try to take that initiative, because there's so much apathy still with voting. We should have crazy amounts of numbers of people wanting to vote and going out and voting and not just throwing in the towel. And of course, you throw in the middle of the whole pandemic thing, and that's what started more of the kick-up of the mail-in ballots and what would happen with the mail-in ballots. All right, by the way, because I've been asked this question a couple of times, and I posed this question to somebody that is going with the president to Kenosha, will the president meet with Jacob Blake's family in Wisconsin? And the answer to that is he's not going to meet with the family because they wanted to involve lawyers. And I think even the president said that at one point during the day. And in case you don't know the story, Blake, a black man, was shot by police in Kenosha, Wisconsin, 7 times in the back, and that's what sparked these demonstrations in the city. Again, the president will visit Kenosha on Tuesday. Mailbag next.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
In a shocking allegation, defense attorney Eric J. Nelson, lawyer for former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin, said the late George Floyd was the victim of an overdose rather than a police homicide. Authorities charged Chauvin with murder in connection with Floyd's death in May, which stemmed from an altercation involving counterfeit money. In light of the allegations, Nelson is now requesting a judge to drop all charges against Chauvin. An attorney for one of the other officers involved in Floyd's death also says body cam footage shows the moment Floyd reportedly ingested a lethal amount of drugs. Nelson filed the motion in Hennepin County, Minnesota District Court, alleging the prosecution has not shown probable cause in charging Chauvin with second-degree unintentional murder, third-degree murder, and second-degree manslaughter. Judge Peter Cahill will address Nelson's motion in a September 11th court hearing. This is USA Radio News. A new bill for protesters is being introduced in Congress, and USA's Tim Berg has the story.
Indiana Congressman Jim Banks is proposing a bill that would prevent people convicted of a federal crime during a protest from receiving federal employment assistance. Banks introducing the Support Peaceful Protest Act, which would also require convicted protesters to pay for the cost of federal policing of a demonstration. The Republican congressman saying it would strip rioters of enhanced federal benefits like unemployment money from the CARES Act passed into law to help Americans amid the coronavirus outbreak.
The federal judge presiding over the case against Steve Bannon and three other men who allegedly defrauded donors with a fundraising campaign to build a wall along the southern border set a May 24, 2021 trial date for those four charged in the scheme. Bannon, who served as chief strategist for President Donald Trump, pled not guilty to charges earlier this month. He was released on $5 million bond and had to forfeit his passport. This is USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe hand sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Mail, letters, papers, and packages delivered by carrier, train, and plane, sent and delivered through post.
What? Yeah!
Or rains.
Now let's talk about the mail. Can we talk about the mail, please, now? I'm dying to talk about the mail with you all day, okay?
Mailbag. We didn't have to dig very far. Thanks to all of you for always sending me your thoughts. You can flip them to me at kate@katedelaneyradio.com. kate@katedelaneyradio.com. I've said it before. I appreciate all your kind words, and even those who have some critical things to say about the show. Bring them on, whatever it is. Good things, bad things, interesting things. We're all about it, right? So this one is from Matt, talking about Kenosha and the president's trip. And Matt says, Kate, I do not understand the president's reasoning unless it's this whole re-election thing, which I get that there's strategies attached, but going to Kenosha and then defending that punk 17-year-old, I'm a Republican and I don't like it. My 17-year-old son did that, I would be crushed. I would be crushed for the people. I'd be crushed that my son did that. And I think there is no place for a 17-year-old to be armed walking in the middle of that protest, not even from there, and killing people. Are we going to just allow that to happen in our country? Allow anybody to have a gun and just start shooting people? Oh, I guess we're already doing that. Ooh. And then I got this one from Michael, who is listening to us in New Orleans. Kate, listening to you in the Big Easy. Thanks for all sending your love out to us all the time. And I look at what happened in Kenosha, and I just, man, it just is awful. I don't get it. I think the 17-year-old was probably a kid that had a lot of bravado, and then when they're saying he acted in self-defense, he probably was nervous and trigger-happy because he was in the middle of more than he could handle. I mean, who knows? But clearly, there is more to the story than we do know. And I think the families of those that were killed are not going to be happy with this whole idea of self-defense. Watching this will be a fascinating but truly tragic kind of trial to see. And the president going to Kenosha could be a flashpoint for people who have the nefarious variety who want to ignite more problems in that area. I mean, obviously we know that there are people that are intentionally doing that. And, man, I can't imagine what it would be like walking with the president in Kenosha and trying to make sure that, one, of course he'll have many supporters, but there will also be people that may be trying to take pot shots at him. Doesn't that increase the anxiety of the Secret Service? Well, I think if you were the Secret Service, you always are on high alert. I mean, that's the whole thing. No matter what, if we go back in history and if we knew there's things that we don't know that have happened with presidents and attempts, etc., there's always attempts. But is it the right time to go? He's saying he wants to implore people to be peaceful and send love and that kind of thing, and that's the reason why he's going. You know, we'll see what happens when he's there. Obviously, there are people that protect the president, and when he travels, that's exactly what happens. I just question everything that's happened in Kenosha, honestly. Seeing the video of Jacob Blake getting shot in the back. Then there's more to that story. Was he reaching for a knife? Oh, there was a knife in the car. I mean, regardless, that shouldn't have happened. We know that. And it's this thing that's permeating. And I wish I could put my finger on it. I've had this discussion with so many different people, but it's tough. It is tough to, I think it's really tough to nail shut every single place and put a blanket on it and call it one thing. There's so many other elements to what's happening. Yes, this was ignited because of George Floyd's death in Minneapolis. You could argue, well, no, there were already things that were happening. There were unjust murders. There were things that shouldn't have happened. There were bad cops. There were good cops. There were there were protesters that were peaceful, then there were those that were taking advantage of a situation because they could blow it open and use it to their own political gain. I mean, there's more angles in this than I've seen ever when I'm looking at directly at one particular element of what's happened in several different areas. Like, you can't compare, I don't think, you can compare Minneapolis to Portland to Wisconsin to what happened in Missouri a few years ago to what happened in New York City. I mean, comparing them all, it's there's no one-size-fits-all. I mean, I guess that's the right way to put it. There is no one-size-fits-all. I know this, that people dying in the streets when there's protesting is not America, should not be happening. And I can't click my heels and go back in time. But watching it and hearing the details and then talking to people about it and getting the different points of view, I mean, again, this is the reason for this show. So send me your thoughts. Kate@KateDelaneyRadio.com. All right, diving back into the mailbag, how about this? A lot of people reacting to what's happening with the coronavirus. Got this one from Maxine, who says, Kate, I have to tell you that I have three friends that have gotten COVID-19 at different times. One just kind of got over it, had it tested positive. It hurt her sense of smell, and she feels like that's not totally back, but she didn't feel awful, sick, terrible. Then I had another friend who actually had to be on oxygen and was in the hospital for a week, and that scared all of us to death. And these two women, by the way, were healthy, were not overweight, did not have any of these pre-existing conditions. And one was exposed because her son had gone to a party. The other has no idea and is only guessing at what possibly happened. And then I have another friend who's older in a nursing home who got COVID-19, and it really took her to the brink, but luckily she survived it. So I've heard and lived through these horror stories, and I know this thing is real because there's so many arguments about what's happening with the economy and testing and vaccines and all this stuff in between. And one thing I can tell you and your listeners is you do not want to get this. All right, funny you should say that thing about vaccines. This one is from Jake in Austin. Kate, what's the latest on the AstraZeneca vaccine? Because I've heard that this one is doing pretty well, and I think you even said it on your show, with this Operation Warp Speed, there is a good chance it could get the stamp of approval. And if it does, with so many people involved in this testing, is there a chance that this vaccine could be ready before the end of the year? Well, that's what the conversation is how realistic is it to think there could be a vaccine before the end of the year? Now, what AstraZeneca has said is they've begun enrolling adults for a late-stage study of their high-profile COVID-19 vaccine candidate, so like 30,000 more. And the participants get either two doses of the experimental vaccine 4 weeks apart or a placebo, and that trial is part of the government's program, and that is aimed at accelerating development, manufacturing, of course, distributing the vaccines and the treatments for COVID-19, and this is when what they're talking about. Could it be available before even November 3rd, before the presidential election, or even much sooner? Now, for the companies that are developing it, what's at stake? Well, of course, they want to be the company that gets it out there first. So there is a race to get this, to make this safe solution to what ails not just the United States, but of course the rest of the world. So we'll see. The U.S. trial is going to evaluate whether the vaccine can prevent COVID-19 infection or keep the illness from becoming severe. That's what the National Institutes of Health is saying. They even released a statement about it. And they're also going to assess if the vaccine can reduce incidence of emergency department visits due to COVID-19. So that would be a very, very big deal. A lot absolutely is riding on this. We know that. Of course we know that. All right, I'm going to throw in one more. Airline travel is so big because they've had to axe so many people and furlough people. I mean, all the airlines are of course, nowhere near at the capacity they were at the beginning of the year. So I got this one from Joe, who says, Kate, I know you used to travel a lot. First of all, what's it like being grounded? And do you think the airlines are doing a good job of trying to get people back in the air? I saw something about Delta and the fact that they're not going to charge a ticketing fee for changing tickets, because this is one of the things that they used to do where they would make money on people who had to switch flights. Yeah, that was a big story about the fee being dropped with Delta, and this is something that other airlines did, and American has also done this too. They're going to ditch this because this is a way to woo people back onto planes. Right now, 70% below earlier in the year levels, so they're bleeding. There's no question about it. I don't know that it's going to pull people back on planes, to be honest. I don't think so, Joseph, but we'll see. Thanks for your emails. Send them to me. Meet you on the flip side. Mr. Blitch is joining us to talk about his novel. It's great. Stay with us.
The coronavirus crisis continues. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Excited to welcome to the show T.A. Blitch. He's written a book called Pop's Place, Some Things Are Meant to Be. Think romance, historical novel, and the story behind this story is so fascinating. I honestly think if T.A. and I went out to lunch, we'd be at lunch through dinner because he is so fascinating, and how he pulled this book together is incredibly interesting. So, T.A., thanks for coming on and sharing your story, and let's talk about the book. How did you come up with this story, and how did it turn out to be a romance/historical novel?
Hi, Kate. It's great to be with you this afternoon, and thanks for having me. I started the book about 5 years ago as a biography about my father, who was a dive bomb pilot in World War II, retired as a rear admiral, and he was in just about every major battle that there was in the Pacific. And he has many stories that I wanted to pass along. And plus, the family has a rich history in of itself in the Charleston area. So I wanted to bring that into the story. But writing the biography, the nonfiction, was a lot like writing an encyclopedia, which is just not my thing. And plus, I would only end up with about 20 pages of facts and footnotes and bibliographies and things like that. So what I wanted to do was to bring in all the experiences, which were very fascinating, but make them into a story that people could understand. And also, I wanted them to understand what it was like coming back home after World War II and there's complete devastation, and what it was like dealing with the technology that was emerging in the late 40s and early 50s, and really get them a feel for what it was like during that time.
Yeah, let's talk about the main character who's so fascinating, and you mentioned that in trying to pull this together and why it turned into this historical romance novel, because it is based on Rear Admiral John Blitch Jackson Pop Harrison. I mean, this guy has an incredible record. If you just looked him up, and for everybody listening, you could find things out about him. And like you said, him returning to his home, returning to South Carolina, and then what is that like for him, and how he goes through trying to adapt is so fascinating. But this guy was really an intense guy who was well respected, right?
Well, not only was he intense, but he was a great father, a great leader. And in fact, when I talk on Facebook or through other social media about the book, I've had a lot of old friends from my childhood, you know, come back to me and said that I really admire your father. He was a great manager of our little league team. He taught me how to hit a curveball and things like that. And I didn't realize the impact that he had on other kids my age, but he was a great father. And he wasn't intense in the respect that, you know, that he was, bearing down all the time. No. Yeah. You know, he's a great guy, a great leader. And like I mentioned in the book, he was always there encouraging, helping, doing what he could for other people. And, I just wanted to, you know, bring this out and make a tribute to him, because otherwise he'll get lost in history. But he had such a tremendous impact on my life and others' lives too.
Yeah, and again, the name of the book is Pop's Place, Some Things Are Meant to Be, and we're talking to T.A. Blitch. He's the writer, and he wrapped up his family's story, in a sense, of course, with this romance part of it. So how do you do the romance? How did you come up with some of these stories? That had to be so interesting for you.
Well, a lot of that, admittedly, is fabricated. And one thing I always had to keep in mind was to keep the reputation of my father intact. So even though he ran into some obstacles and twists and turns and things that a romance novel will go through, I had to make sure that, like I said, his reputation was intact and he didn't do anything maybe unsavory or unbecoming, because when I see him again in heaven, I know he's going to have a chat with me about this. So I got to make sure, you know, that, that I keep him square with this. But the romance part was to not only make it more interesting and entertaining, but there's a lot of psychological input that I had into this. And the relationships and how people feel about each other and how relationships strengthen and how they weaken, the challenges and, you know, jealousies and emotions and things like that. Not only are fantasy, so to speak, for the book, but also occur in real life. And I wanted to bring that into it and get people to think about how people interact with each other. So nothing is in there by chance or by fluff. There's a purpose behind everything in the book.
I like that. Nothing by chance or fluff. And you can tell, because when you read it, it is so well written. For you, was it fun to do this, to have to kind of maneuver and pivot and come up with some different ideas than what you were originally even thinking?
It became a central part of my life when the core of the book was being written. And every single waking moment, I was thinking how characters were going to interact with each other, how the storyline was going to work. And not only did I have to deal with practicalities like, you know, that how people were growing up and they were aging and they were learning and things like that, but I had to also fit it the best that I could into the timeline of history. And I couldn't have World War II, for instance, ending in 1956, you know, ending in 1945. And so there are a lot of pieces to the puzzle that just had to fit together. So there's a lot of maneuvering initially. And actually, I drew out a timeline. And I said, okay, well, I know this guy was born here, this guy died here, World War II was here, this battle was there, and I had to have everything fit together. So it was a bit of a challenge in that respect.
Yeah, kind of like a puzzle. I'm going to say you have a way with words, and you have a way with putting the puzzle together. That's what it felt like to me, like you're taking us on this journey. So that's a compliment to you, because I got lost in the book so much so that I rearranged something I was doing that day because I had to finish. So I got to finish this.
That's great.
I got to finish it. I can't do what else I was going to do. And again, the name of the book is Pop's Place, Some Things Are Meant to Be, and we're speaking with T.A. Blitch. And T.A., what do you really hope that people take away from reading your book?
Well, not only what it was like to live in the 1940s and 50s, because that's a couple generations ago. But really what I wanted to get people to think about is to cherish your elder ones, cherish the ones that are still alive, and ask them what it was like to grow up. Okay, you grew up on a farm in Minnesota at the, you know, in the 1950s or in the 1940s. You didn't have heat. What was it like during the wintertime? What was it like growing up on, you know, on a farm in South Carolina? What was it like? And, you know, ask these questions, because as each generation passes, this knowledge and those experiences go with them. And unless you learn about that and then the important things that happened in your family, they're going to be lost forever. And so it's really important to find this out. And every morning I wake up and I kick myself for not asking my dad more questions. And all the questions that I have now could have easily been answered, but now I have to do the painstaking research to find them out. And there's so many things that, you know, will never be answered, because I don't even know they existed and can't even ask the questions. But, you know, there are family members, you know, that I didn't know about, and I discovered their lives and what things were like for them. And it's been fascinating research, but it could have been at my fingertips, and I let that go because, you know, when you're young, you're just, I guess, not interested in that stuff. But that's what I'd like people to take away, is that find out everything you can about your family. And it's so important, because you'll wish you did later.
Yeah, boy, that is so true, and that's powerful that you said that, because look at what you've discovered, look what you were able to do with what you did know, and it is frustrating when you go down these turns that now you wish you knew this, and there's family members you never knew existed. Well, this book is just beautifully written, and the story is wonderful, and there's, you know, you're going to get lost in the story, and I think that's so big, that's so much a part of this for sure. T.A. Blitch, you can get the book on BNN or Amazon or wherever great books are sold. Pop's Place, Some Things Are Meant to Be. Pick it up. It's really, really good. Thanks, T.A.
Okay, thanks, Kate. Appreciate it.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com.
or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again, now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.